Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. In this message, Saints, we're going to talk about seven ways to forgive. And I'm going to read various quotes from authors about the topic of forgiveness. And to start off with, I want to talk about how essential forgiveness is. Jesus told us that if we do not forgive, we shall not be forgiven. Mark chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, Jesus is speaking about answered prayer, actually, and forgiving others is essential to answered prayer also, and to the destiny of our eternal souls. This is a very serious matter in the kingdom of Christ, who has forgiven us who were completely and still are unworthy in and of ourselves. But He came while we were yet sinners and died for the ungodly, Romans 5. 6 through 8. Notice Jesus says toward the end of Mark 11, 24 through 26, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Seven ways to forgive: pray, love, and do good to the offender. Number three, refuse to speak evil of the offender. Number four, release them from your punishment. And then, let's see, number five, don't celebrate their failures. Number six, treat them the way you want to be treated. And number seven, stop dwelling on the past. Let's read a verse for each of these seven. The first way to forgive is to pray. Jesus said, Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So Jesus says we are to love our enemies or anyone who's done us wrong. We are to bless those who curse us, and also to do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Let me encourage you, friend, to memorize this passage or this actual verse. It's one verse in Matthew 5:44 from the King James Bible. It will absolutely change your life. Number two on this list of seven ways to forgive, and we have already read how important it is, beloved, to forgive others. In fact, the Bible tells us that the judge standeth before the door. He's talking about Jesus standing before the door of heaven, getting ready to come back for His own. And He says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned." By who? By the judge who stands before the door, ready to come back from heaven to the earth to get His people. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." That's James chapter 5, verse 9. Again, the essential nature of forgiveness. And as human beings, we all know this is not always something that's easy, but there's a posture of heart the Lord wants to bring about in our lives in order to cause us to live with a forgiving spirit, if you will. And we're going to get to that a little bit here in a minute. All right, number two on the list of seven ways to forgive is love and do good to the offender. Romans 12:9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor or hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And also do good. Do good to whoever offends you." Remember, Jesus said in the verse we just read that we're to do good to them that hate you. Pray pray for them and bless them. In this order, bless them, right? Second thing, do good to them that hate you or have done you wrong, and pray for them. That's all in Matthew 5:44. All right. And then we're to, again, love and do good to those who offend us. And in fact, be not overcome of evil, right? But overcome evil with good. That's also Romans 12. Let me stop and say this, friends. I, as an individual disciple, I like to share with people what God is doing sometimes. And, you know, many times I have to go to back to certain passages I feel like my spirit and my mind need to be refreshed with on a regular basis. And I've been doing this for many years. And the end of Romans 12 is certainly one of those places. And I always like to begin in verse 14, Romans 12. It starts off with the cross, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, and it also being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the end of this chapter, Romans 12, I like to begin in chapter 12, verse 14, and just read to the end a few verses here. And I think you'll see why as I begin to read this. I call this and view this one of those heart-tenderizing, recalibrating passages for the life of Christ to reign in this vessel. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense or repay to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So vengeance belongs to God. When somebody does us wrong, when somebody does you wrong, he says, don't avenge yourself. Do not do it. Because vengeance belongs to him, not you, not I. And he says, I will repay. So God is going to bring that back. He's going to bring a balancing to the scales, if you will, and he's going to bring his justice. Verse 20. Then let me say this before I leave that verse. No one is getting away with anything. We are all going to give account as we stand before the throne of God. That's what the scriptures teach, friends. We shall all stand before, believers are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 10, also Romans 14:10 says this. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? He's talking about for non-essentials, by the way. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then one more, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to grab hold of these texts so that you can also know where to go and navigate the Word of God and be able to remind yourself and also to refresh yourself and help others by showing them these scriptures. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Finishing Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, we already read this one, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I, many years ago, memorized several of these verses, including this one. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And as many of you already know, because you walk in the Word, that's the only way to walk with Christ. That's what all true disciples do, by the way. They live by the Word of God as the final authority of their life. It dictates everything they think and do. They are in it day and night, according to Psalm 1, and it guides them. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Amen. Psalm 119:105. But disciple of Christ delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates in it day and night. He bears fruit to the glory of God. And that verse right there has, on countless occasions, been such a blessing to my life. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So on the list of seven ways to forgive, we've covered pray, we've covered love and do good to the offender. Also refuse to speak. Number three, evil of the offender. Notice Romans 12:14, which we just read. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't speak behind their back. Don't talk bad of them. Pray for them, right? Matthew 5:44. Pray for them, which despite, pray for them, which use you and persecute you, etc. All right, number four in the list of seven ways to forgive. Release them from your punishment. We just read this. Repay or recompense to no man evil for evil. Do not pay them back. Do not render evil back to them for the evil that they executed towards you, perpetrated on you. Right? That's what he says. That's what he means here. Recompense to no man or repay no man evil for evil. What happens when you try to fight fire with fire? It just makes a bigger explosion. But when you pour the water of love on a fire, it puts it out. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's Romans 12:17-19. Number five, don't celebrate the failures of others, especially those that have wronged you. Proverbs 24:7, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. And I believe there's more. There's another verse that speaks of that. It's actually verse 18 here, the next verse, Proverbs 24:17-18. Verse 18 says, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So we aren't to celebrate the failures of others, namely those that have done us wrong. And if we're praying for them, there's no way we aren't going to be able to love them. That's the love of God in us. And that's going to be born and sustained in us, spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost as we pray for them, as we follow the Lord's commands, his entreaty, his prescription concerning those who make themselves our enemies, and pray for them. God's going to continually cause our hearts to be filled with his love. The scripture says, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, for God is love. And also perfect love in that passage casteth out all fear. 1 John 4:16-18. Number six of the seven ways to forgive. Treat them, that's those that have wronged you, the way you want to be treated. Luke 6:31, Jesus says, as ye would that men should do to you, even so to them likewise. That's what we call the golden rule. And if you've done somebody wrong, which we have all done, think about how put the shoe on your own foot, or on the other foot as it's called, and consider how you want to be treated when you've done somebody wrong and the Lord's in the process of convicting you. So treat them the way you want to be treated, even in that situation. And then many times our flesh wants to say, but you don't understand what they did to me. Well, what we do understand is that our sins are the reason why Jesus came and went to the cross. And to find the most wicked sinner on the planet, all you and I have to do is look in the mirror. And the Bible says he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, right? That's the longest message that he gave us in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. A merciful people forgive others. God is a God of mercy, and that's why he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son. He was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you know, the scripture says, to be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, not by any merit of our own, but for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's Ephesians 4:32. So number seven on the seven ways to forgive others, stop dwelling on the past. Isaiah 43:18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Also, that's Isaiah 43:18. Also, Philippians 3:13-14, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 4, I just read verse 32. Let's read verse 30 through 32. Notice, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, if this warning would not be there, if it wasn't possible to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Remember David in his Psalm of Repentance, after he had sinned grossly before the Lord and against the Lord. Psalm 51, he prayed and cried out, God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Let all bitterness and wrath, verse 31, Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to pray tonight, Lord, to pray right now, Lord, deliver us from all bitterness. The Bible speaks in Hebrews 12 about a root of bitterness that springs up and defiles many. You know, the Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we've got a message on that. If you just put in, keep thine heart, T-H-I-N-E, in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. You're going to find it there. It's a good podcast to encourage you in Christ through the Word of God. Let all bitterness and wrath, Bible says the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Remember, it goes along with how he said, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For he said, vengeance is his, it's not ours. So the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1:20, again, another fantastic verse, of course, to memorize. All right, so Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God doesn't want those things in our hearts. And be ye kind one to another, tender instead of hard-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's a memory verse right there for sure. We're to forgive others that have wronged us, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. While we were completely unworthy of that forgiveness, God sent his only begotten Son, as I said earlier, as the gospel tells us, to die on a cold, cruel cross for our sins. God has been merciful unto us, and he requires that we be merciful unto others. Okay, here's another heart, I want to call it a heart tenderizing passage I like to pour back over on a regular basis. It's Colossians 3, 12 through 14. And then after I read this passage, we're going to read a few miscellaneous quotes from different people on forgiveness before we close this message. Colossians 3, 12 through 14, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Wow. May God bless each of us to have bowels of mercy. A mercy that just saturates us to the very core of our being. Amen. All the way down in our bowels and just pours through us to others. Put on, you know, in the flesh, we think that getting back at somebody, saying something back to them, being mean to them, punching them or whatever is going to be the solution. Well, it's just the opposite. We're fighting fire with fire, as we discussed earlier. It's better to pour cold water on that fire and do it with a smile. And that's going to have to be an act of God, a work of God in our hearts to tenderize our hearts so that, as we read in Ephesians 4, we have tender hearts toward others and not bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor or evil, which brings about evil speaking and malice. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Somebody says, what does that mean? Well, I kind of tried to explain it a minute ago. You can look into that deeper, but I think in our hearts, we know we kind of have a good idea what that means. And, you know, we can just pray because God states it here that it's his will for our lives. And Father, we just pray right now. Thank you for coming and finding our wretched souls, Lord. You first loved us. We didn't first love you. We only love you because you first loved us and found us and brought us to yourself through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for that right now afresh. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless us to have bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, to be able to forbear one another and forgive one another. If there's any quarrels that happen, we forgive even as Christ, you forgave us on the behalf of Christ. Lord, let charity above all things be the bond of perfectness in our lives. May our hearts be full of your Holy Ghost afresh, spread abroad. Let your love be spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 5:5, in Jesus' name. I'm going to read this passage. I'm going to move on to some quotes from people. I'll just read it through this time. Put on that. By the way, you'll notice I just prayed through this passage for each of us. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness or maturity. Colossians 3:12-14. I want to also encourage you once again to read the love chapter on a regular basis, man. When you get up in the morning, as one of the places you read in scripture, I want to encourage you to read out loud 1 Corinthians 13. All right, on forgiveness, a lady named Michelle Moros said, forgiveness does not mean what happened is okay. It means not letting what happened take any more of your happiness, unquote. All right, remember too, Jesus said this. He said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. While he was dying for the sins of the world, he declared one of the seven things Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who can be betrayed? Who is it in all of history that can be betrayed, bruised, beaten, nailed to a wooden cross, and still cry out about those and for those who crucified him? Father, forgive them. That's Jesus, the only one ever. That's what he did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you and I. Let that sink in, beloved, and just pray. You know, we read the Word of God and we say, man, this is very hard. You know, you can't do it in the flesh. It has to come to a place of surrender and just simply asking God. You're reading his will. Every time you open the Bible, he's speaking to you. And I believe it's so wise for us to just begin to pray that God incorporates these things into our lives and blesses us to be crucified with Christ, dead, buried, and raised up by Christ. That's the work of the cross. And as it begins to have its more fuller and deeper effect in each of our lives, the love of God is going to pervade and prevail, and we're not even going to take offense to things we once took offense to, much less have to come conjure up some forgiveness for it. All right, may God bless us to walk in love as the scripture instructs. All right, a man named Bryant McGill said this about forgiveness. He said, there is no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. That's a good one right there. It was God's love that caused him to, it was Jesus' love and the Father's love that caused Christ to come to the earth and die on a cruel cross, to shed his precious blood, be buried and raised again from the dead, to forgive our sin. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And also Jesus said concerning his redemption in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Jesus came to die, to shed his precious blood and forgive the sins of the world. A guy named Reinhold Niebuhr said this on forgiveness. He says, love is an act of endless forgiveness. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiveness is the final act of love, unquote. Reinhold Niebuhr. All right, here's something else somebody said, unknown. They said, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. Here's another quote on forgiveness from unknown source. They said, forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. In other words, you were the one that needed to be set free. Here's another one. It says, before going to sleep every night, forgive everyone and sleep with a clean heart. Another one, you cannot fully heal until you fully forgive. Here's another one. Embrace grace, love mercy, fully forgive. I mean, the Bible says in Micah 6:8 that we're to love mercy. Amen. We're to love mercy. Thank God he loved mercy and not judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. Here's another one. A.W. Tozer, a Pharisee is hard on others and easy on himself, but a spiritual man or a spirit-filled man is easy on others and hard on himself. All right, here's one from R.A. Torrey, a great pastor of the past. He said, my sin may be as high as the highest mountain, but the sacrifice that covers it is as high as the highest heaven. My guilt may be as deep as the ocean, ocean, but the atonement that swallows it up is as deep as eternity. That's absolutely amazing. All right, here's another one. Let's see, on forgiveness. Never be a prisoner of your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. Amen. We got a lot of good stuff, a wealth of information on mercy and on allowing God to forgive us, putting our past behind us. Your past does not equal your present or your future. That's good news. I mean, let's face it, God is greater than our sin. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. 1 John 3, I believe it's 19 through 21. God's greater than our past, our pain, our failures, our mistakes, and our greatest fears, and everything else. Amen. The Lord rules and reigns in the affairs of men. I hope you'll take these to heart, friend, and pass this message on to another. We also have in this message, I've embedded a list of 12 steps of forgiveness. It's in a different list. Might provoke some unique perspective for some of those who read it. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. Glad we had these moments together. God bless you. We'll definitely thank you for praying for the fruitfulness and the supply of this outreach, which is reaching thousands every day and tens of thousands every month with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ as we look eagerly and fervently for his soon return. As we see all the signs of his return all around us, we lift up our heads and look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.